At this particular point in the service, we begin to look at God's Word. We started last Sunday morning a series in Ephesians, and this morning we're going to continue with that series. And this title for the message is Confidence in Christ. Now, Paul, who wrote this, spent 3 years in Ephesus, and as a result of his time there and as a result of his ministry there, a church was established in the city. And 10 years later, he's now in prison. And he's in prison, not in Ephesus, but in Rome. And Paul, from his prison cell, wrote this very letter that we have called Ephesians. And he wrote it from his prison cell. The only problem is, back then, no emails, Twitter or Instagram or even Royal Mail. I don't do any of, don't do many of those. I've got things to do. And but he sent this letter, actually, by Tychicus. And it's in a really, really exciting book. Ephesians. If you haven't read it, I commend it to you. Really exciting. It's a good read because it tells you how to become a Christian, which is really good and exciting. And then it tells you how to live the Christian life, which is really very, very important as well. So we need to keep on reading and perhaps rereading Ephesians. You see, without Christ, we have absolutely nothing. And we are nothing without Christ. And we can do nothing without Christ in our lives. John 15 and verse 5 says that I am the vine and you are the branches. If you stay joined to me and I join to you, you will produce fruit. But he says this, but you can do nothing without me. That's an amazing statement from the Lord Jesus Christ, that without me you can do nothing. And that's why we desperately need the Lord Jesus in our life. Luke 15, 31 says, my son, you're always with me. This is a story of the prodigal son. And the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. And this is true for every Christian. Everything that Christ has, it can be ours in Christ. He wants to bless us again and again and again. How rich we are in Christ. But there are very few who realize the true wealth, and very few who would actually possess their inheritance. The Lord Jesus is the source of all spiritual blessing. And the moment we receive him as our Lord and Savior, he wants to bless us. And again and again and again, those blessings are ours in Christ Jesus. He wants us to appropriate them. He wants us to enjoy them day by day and moment by moment. Verses 4 to 14, he lists several of them so that we can get excited about them. And he lists them one by one, the fact that we were chosen, accepted, redeemed, and we have an inheritance, and we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's my message. Okay, now it would be good just to finish it like that, wouldn't it, really? Don't nod. We've already received a sermon, I think, this morning, in the sense of that illustration of someone actually committing their life and following the Lord Jesus in obedience and faith. So let's just look at some of these things if we can. You see, verse 4 says, for you chose us before the creation of the world to be blameless and holy. And the great truth of election, how wonderful that God should select you and me. And notice the when and the why of his choosing in John 15, 16. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you go and bear fruit. And that's exactly what God has done, chosen us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all men and women, boys and girls should reach repentance and believe and be baptized. In sovereign grace, our salvation was not some afterthought. It wasn't some afterthought as far as God said, oh, that's caught me a bit by surprise. God wasn't in heaven saying, oh, no, look at all that sin. Look at the people who are wayward. And I better think of a plan B. No, in eternity past, God planned the wonder of salvation for you and for me. And even though after a sinful life that we've lived, we can come to him and confess, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I wonder if you ever think, I'm not good enough to be saved. I'm not good enough to become a Christian. Do you know, if you look at John 6, you'll have no doubt ever again. And all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never, ever drive away, says the Lord Jesus. God has chosen you. Good news? Good news. We've been accepted as well. It's always good to be accepted, isn't it? Group of people, it's nice to be accepted and part of that group. And verses 4 to 6 says, "For you he chose us before the creation of the world. He predestined us, marked us out beforehand. In eternity past, not only did God choose you, but he planned your life in meticulous detail. And he's chosen us, predestined us. And as we see from verse 4 and verse 5, God has a purpose in choosing you. Why he wants you to come into his family. And he gives you the full rights and privileges as sons and daughters when we come to the Lord Jesus. He accepts us and he says, you are mine. We were lost. We were sinful, we were unregenerate, we were in a mess, so to speak. But God chose us, accepted us, so that we could become part of the royal family of heaven. Isn't that amazing that we are part of the royal family of heaven? As 1 John 3 tells us, that God's great love of the Father has been lavished on you. God has lavished his love on every one of us here this morning. Amen. That means that whatever God, whoever God has accepted, their sinful, unregenerate condition, once we've received the Lord Jesus as our Savior, he's dealt with it and we're accepted in Christ. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 tells us, all of us have been like an unclean individual. And even the very best that we can do are like filthy rags in the sight of God. Our sinfulness. And if we look at our sinfulness, we'll doubt our salvation, doubt that we've been accepted. But if you look to the Lord Jesus and fix your eyes upon him, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, he will bless us in an amazing way. In Jesus, I am accepted. My doubts have vanished because God has accepted me. And through the perfect work and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, I am fully, finally, and excitedly accepted as well as chosen. Amen? Amen. Good. I like it the way it's unprompted and spontaneous. What's next? Redemption. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of God's grace. To redeem is to buy back and to release by ransom. And we have been slaves to sin. But because we have been redeemed and because of redemption through the finished work of the Lord Jesus upon the cross, we've been released and set free. And do you ever feel that, you know, you're a slave to perhaps a habit you've tried to break, perhaps some sinful way of life that you've tried to get rid of? Come to the Lord Jesus. He will redeem you and set you free. And you've been forgiven. God has not only made us his very own, he's made us fit to live with him one day in heaven by his precious blood sacrificed upon the cross. The atoning work of the Lord Jesus is an exciting and wonderful and thrilling thing to be part of. 2 Corinthians 5 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Because he's lavished his love upon us. And that's a mystery sometimes, says in that verse, those verses there, referring to that which was undisclosed. But now God has revealed it and made it clear for us. God has made known what was a mystery about his will and his love. Verse 9 says this, the word of the prophets made more certain in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. God's glorious plan for you, for your future, is there, mapped out, and for eternity. So in Christ, time is in his hands until we live down here. And then one day he's going to take us to heaven itself. And we're going to be with him because we have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And then it goes on to talk about verse 11, an inheritance. He's chosen us for an inheritance. In Christ, we have everything we need for time and eternity. And 1 Peter 1 and verse 4 says that it's to an inheritance which can never perish, spoil, or fade, an inheritance kept in heaven for you because you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior. Inheritance speaks of riches, wealth, possession, and how rich we are in him. Verse 14 says that this is a guarantee. I know guarantees that you have down here, you know, you buy something and there's a guarantee and then it breaks down, you take it back, hand over the guarantee. It's covered apart from that thing that's broken down on. But it's not like that. This guarantee is certain. It's absolutely sure. And we can enter into all that we have in Christ Jesus because you've been sealed to the day of redemption. And then all of that and his Holy Spirit indwells us. The neighbors are bound to notice. When God the Holy Spirit indwells us and blesses us. This divine seal denotes ownership, security. We belong to him and he belongs to us and nothing's going to alter that. And he has placed this seal upon us, the indwelling Holy Spirit, until the journey's end. Ephesians 4:30 tells us these spiritual blessings belong to every Christian. Claim them. And God will bless you in an amazing and a wonderful way. They all are there ours in Christ. Having heard the gospel, having believed the gospel, having received the gospel through repentance and faith, we now can be sure that he has received us and will one day take us to heaven. But until then, he says, I'm all that you need. You can have confidence because I'll bless you. That doesn't mean to say he's going to take away all the problems we're going to ever have, but it does mean he's going to be with us to help us and to see us through. So one question as we close. Have you believed and received the Lord Jesus Christ? You can right now. And having done that, have you been baptized? We can do that right now as well. I don't mind going home wet. Have you trusted him as your Lord and Savior? Confidence in Christ until the journey's end. Let's pray.